Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, not a very pleasant day for me. I'm kind of under the gun here. I like to say, oh, I'm enjoying it. I'm not enjoying it. Nobody who is attacked enjoys being attacked, particularly when they are making things up like this. So I am going to explain to you that I've been attacked by CAIR, and they have caused myself irreparable harm. What I'm about to read to you are portions of my defense, which will be filed in a federal court on Monday by my attorney, Daniel Horowitz. Now, for the Muslims who are listening to the show, who know me very well, I am asking you and inviting you to go on to michaelsavage.com. On the top right, you will see pro-Muslim comments that I have made about Muslims over the years. Not yesterday to make believe I'm, you know, not that way or whatever. I'm talking about going back to 01 when I spoke with Sheikh Kabani. So there are many pro-Muslim clips. The comments that I made that were taken out of context by CAIR were made about Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, and the Islamists who threaten not only the West, but Muslims around the world who do not want to be dragged back to the 7th century. And so again, I'll repeat, what I'm about to read to you is my defense. CAIR could live in peace and health and harmony, but they chose to attack me and destroy my show. And so therefore, I'm going to fight them in court, which is a place they like to be. This will be filed Monday. It will be all over the media Monday. I'm going to read you pieces of the first cause of action, complaint for damages. It is Michael Savage versus the Council on American-Islamic Relations, Inc., and Does. And the Does, we don't know who Does are, but we're going to find out who the Does are in the court. Michael Savage is a nationally syndicated radio show that reaches over 8 million listeners a week. Related to that show is the website michaelsavage.com, which receives 2.3 million page views per month. The Savage Nation is unique among so-called talk radio in that it combines serious intellectual analysis with dramatic and emotional soul-bearing that the show advertises as psychological nudity. This performance aspect of the show is critical in that it conveys an emotional power and a fundamental honesty to the programming that is meaningful to the listening audience. Now, I didn't write any of these words. My attorney, Daniel, did. He goes on. In the lawsuit, he says, there are segments of the show that are as lyrical and as emotionally powerful as live theater, poetry, rap music, or other genres, where a performer combines social commentary with powerful performance. In fact, the start of show always begins with the admonishment, warning. This show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. Those millions who continue to listen to Michael Savage understand that they are hearing radio that is as cutting, raw, emotional, and fundamentally honest as any programming that has ever existed on the airwaves. This lawsuit concerns the infringement of the copyright to the October 29, 2007 show, wherein a dramatic, meaningful, and powerful segment of the Savage Nation was and continues to be expropriated by defendant CAIR. The segment misappropriated was in excess of 4 minutes. The segment was used by CAIR for fundraising purposes, and the segment was used in a manner designed to cause harm to the value of the copyright material in the long and short term. The Council on American Islamic Relations, Inc., hereinafter referred to as CAIR, is a tax-exempt corporation which is self-anointed as the representative of the civil rights of Muslim Americans. In fact, and as set forth more fully herein, CAIR is not a civil rights organization and never has been. At all times relevant herein, CAIR was and is a political organization that advocates a specific political agenda. Defendants named herein as does 1 to 100 are defendants. Now, this is perhaps the most important part of this lawsuit. I'm not going to read it all to you. I'm giving you a taste. No one's heard this before. I only got it last night. Defendants named herein as DOES, does 1 to 100, are defendants whose true names and capacities are presently unknown. When the names and identities of said does are ascertained, this complaint will be amended to reflect the same. These DOE defendants include persons and entities that have conspired with CAIR to violate the rights of plaintiff as set forth herein. I want to read that again. It's very important you understand that this group is not functioning alone. They were fed these tapes by another group, we think. There are secret money sources, we think. And in this lawsuit, we're going to uncover them. When the names and identities of said DOES are ascertained, the complaint will be amended. These DOE defendants include persons and entities that have conspired with CAIR to violate the rights of plaintiff as set forth herein. Now, we'll skip a few pages. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Now, look, I have plenty of stories. I could talk about Rudy Giuliani. I can. I can talk about Romney. I can talk about Hillary. I can talk about the gay military plant of the Clinton machine who twists the YouTube debate and how the phony Republicans gobble debate. It's on my website. I can tell you that Anderson Cooper was part of that conspiracy because I believe he's a member of that community, according to rumors that are circulating around. I mean, of course, the community of good journalists on CNN. You understand that. He knew what was going on. This was all a setup. But, of course, the phony Republicans gobbled debate instead of throwing it out of the arena. I won't talk about that because it's been talked about. If you want to talk about that, call me. Shall I read the lawsuit to you, or would you like me to talk about the news? You need to call the show right now and let me know which way to go. It's your show. What I'm going to do is continue to read until I hear what you want, and I'll read some of it. The CAIR repackaging damaged the work and damaged the public image of the work because it was taken out of context. The introductory remarks were omitted, and the context of the Savage Nation were removed. Now, let me pause right there, because the most important thing for you to understand is that the introductory remarks were about Ahmadinejad and Iran, and they know that, and they took it out and put it on their website without that. Lawyer goes on. It was deliberately designed to obscure the specific message conveyed by Michael Savage. The actual message, while highly provocative and strongly worded, was not intended as an attack on people of faith, and in fact, Michael Savage is well known as a person of faith. The stolen material, as repackaged by CAIR, was intended to portray both the material and the creator of the material, Michael Savage, as having a blanket opposition to a particular religion. This was not the context of the statement, and it is not consistent with the content of the programming as a whole. In fact, Michael Savage has presented various views and various perspectives. The purpose of his show, among others, is to present uncensored, genuine points of view that force listeners to both think and feel in ways that normal, polite discourse may not allow. The CAIR misappropriation omitted this reality about the show and therefore failed to incorporate the context of Michael Savage's many comments, which include praise for the aspects of Islam that create a high level of morality and family values. Shall I repeat that? The CAIR misappropriation omitted this reality and failed to incorporate the context of Michael Savage's many comments, which include praise for the aspects of Islam that create a high level of morality and family values. And if you want to see them, go to my website, michaelsavage.com. You'll see pro-Muslim comments that I've made over the years. Clause 20. CAIR knew or should have known that it was misportraying the views of Michael Savage, as the following are just some of the positive positions taken by Michael Savage with respect to people who use their religion to promote morality, freedom, and family values. As noted herein, Michael Savage makes no distinction among religions in these comments, and all the positive comments now follow, and you can read them yourself. These misportrayals were done to deliberately increase the profit-making aspects of CAIR's misappropriation, and it further increased the damage caused by this theft. The misportrayals were done to silence people who oppose the commission of acts of violence, murder, or torture under the guise of religion. By omitting Michael Savage's strong endorsement of all religions and all religious practices that support moral values, family values, and freedom, CAIR destroyed the value of the copyrighted material and the performance as a whole, at least to the extent that people gave credence to the CAIR packaging of the content. Did you hear that? Did you hear what's going on here? To further promote their website, fundraising, and appearance of a genuine human rights agenda, CAIR organized contacts with various advertisers, including, and I will not read the name of the advertisers, who have catered to this terrorist front group, in my opinion. But I will tell you that any success that they may have achieved in convincing some of these companies to drop my show was due to the copyright infringement and the false context in which the material was presented. I'll read one more paragraph. In its actual context, the piece was directed towards violent terrorists who masked their personal evil with a false religious aura. This included the Hitler of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Michael Savage's show in its introduction promises psychological nudity. Savage's outrage and strong language objecting to the murder of homosexuals and the mutilation and oppression of women under the guise of religion makes much more sense than the CAIR package spin that Savage, who has repeatedly taken pro-faith views, was somehow against a particular religious group in its entirety. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Savage. Most of the callers who are flooding the switchboards are saying, continue reading the lawsuit. I've got to go with what the callers are saying, and I'll do so for a bit more on the Savage Nation. If you just tuned in, I'm reading a lawsuit that will be filed in federal court Monday morning in defense of Michael Savage in an attempt to gain compensation for the damage that has been done to my program by the use of misappropriated material that was distorted by CAIR, both to defame me and raise money for themselves. Unfortunately, some advertisers have not analyzed who CAIR is, who you'll find out very shortly, nor my history of supporting Islam and Muslims as opposed to Islamists, and we hope to set the record straight. I do not look to fight these battles. I don't enjoy them. It's not fun. However, when you're attacked, you have only one choice, which is to win. You have no choice. There's no choice here. I have no choice. I'll continue, page 6. Savage's outrage and strong language objecting to the murder of homosexuals and the mutilation and oppression of women under the guise of religion makes much more sense than the CAIR package spin that Savage, who has repeatedly taken pro-faith views, was somehow against a particular religious group in its entirety. 24. The audience of the Savage Nation expects this type from the heart outrage, and when it is directed at a murderer such as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his ilk, the piece is far more understandable and far more American mainstream. While the strength of the outrage is remarkable and a hallmark of the Savage Nation, the sentiment is shared by a huge number of Americans. The copyrighted material, properly viewed as a scream of outrage on behalf of the American public against beheadings, hangings of homosexuals, mutilation of women, the torture of rape victims, and the thought that CAIR and other groups are trying to import these atrocities into American life. You understand, folks, what is at stake here? I hope you do. Karen, Manchester, New Hampshire, go ahead, please.
Michael, I understand how high the stakes are. You can see by the politically correct wimps out there, whether they're your advertisers or people who used to tell it like it was, like in 03, the people that didn't mind saying what CAIR was, you know, involved in and what type of...
Yes, Boxer, Schumer, Durbin described CAIR as a terrorist front group in 03. They have since hidden. They have since hidden and gone over to the other side.
Yes, and what we need to do is we need to stand strong with you because you're fighting the good fight. That's the only thing that's going to protect us from discrimination against our very country, our very children.
Yes, I absolutely know that. They're trying to import these atrocities into our life. If we don't beat them now, we're going to be finished. Thanks for the call. I'm going to continue reading. No, I'll take another call or two. WTNT in Washington. Mike, go ahead, please.
Mike Chantalani, I'm glad to hear this news, Mike, that you're going to attack them, but you got to go to the Fourth Circuit in Alexandria, Virginia. It's known as the Rocket Docket. They can't escape. It's their home.
Hold on, Mike. Listen, please don't tell my lawyer where to file. I think that he's a really, first of all, I live here. Secondly, he practices here. Thirdly, the United States District Court out here is one of the major district courts in the country. So thank you for the advice, Mike. But legal advice, I don't need. I have the best lawyer in the country. WOR, New York. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mike? Longtime fan. I have, as a cop in New York, I have to tell you that I've been almost under the same gun, but with different situations. And it's my experience that it never pays to explain yourself.
But what you don't understand is that this is going before a court, not to the public.
That I understand, but you did pose a question whether to move on with today's topics or talk about this situation.
Oh, okay. So you think I should stop reading this?
I think that you're giving it more homage than worth. I read this saying on a packet of sugar in a diner once, and it made so much sense.
Never. All right, I'm going to move on. I don't care about a pack of sugar. I care about freedom of speech. Michael Savage has analogized his statements on the radio to those made by Winston Churchill when he warned of the rise of the Nazis. Michael Savage has pointed out that all Germans were not Nazis, and Churchill's words, if heeded, would have protected the German public as well as the rest of the world. To steal his words and repackage them is to steal the intellectual and emotional property of Michael Savage and those who support his positions. That means you folks. By stealing my words and twisting them, they are attacking you, the American people who believe in freedom. Do you understand that? Now, the heartbreak here is that the Clarabels of radio, the guys who honk their horns real loud and call themselves wild and free, they're the real heartbreaks here. To think that a man like Rush Limbaugh would simply use his show as a platform only for himself and the Republican Party is heartbreaking. I thought more of him. The leprechaun I gave up on a long time ago because I know he's merely an entertainer. The wall banger, well, he talks a big game about freedom, but he's not there when anyone needs him, except his own cronies who he can use for his own advantage. So I'm alone out here. I have you, and that's it. I have my own audience, and I have my lawyer. On Monday, I'm going to file this lawsuit. I don't expect any help from the people in the media, particularly those in the Beltway, like the top three that I just mentioned.
Savage.
All right, I'm going to shift gears for a minute. I'll go back to the lawsuit momentarily. But last night, Hillary Clinton planted a deep throat into last night's debates at the YouTube debates. She planted this deep throat, and I believe Anderson Blooper was in on the conspiracy. Because he could have cut the guy off. Instead, later on, Anderson Blooper continues by asking the retired general, Keith Kerr, about the homosexual issue. So Anderson Blooper, who has had no credibility whatsoever for a long time now, has zero credibility. Listen to this.
Today, don't ask, don't tell is destructive to our military policy. Every day, the Department of Defense discharges two people, not for misconduct, not for the unit cohesion. But
let's pause right here. Now, a real moderator would have cut this man off because he was not asking a question. He was making an editorial statement. So this was planned by Hillary Clinton. This man works for her. It was planned, in my opinion, by CNN and Anderson Blooper. This was a complete setup. But the shame here, really, is that the Republicrats didn't boo the guy out. So, you know what? I'm not answering that question. There's no place here. You're obviously working for the opposition. Goodbye. They didn't do that. Instead, they went along like the sheeple they are. I have no faith in this. Yeah, continue with the deep throat.
Cohesion, but simply because they happen to be gay.
Okay.
And we're talking
Senator
about
McCain.
Doctors, nurses, pilots, okay. And the surgeon right. who sews somebody up.
Well, go on. Keep going. Go
General,
on.
Thanks for your service, but I believe in what Colin Powell said when he said that having openly homosexual people serving in the ranks would be bad for unit cohesion. And
let's
the reason
pause
for
right
that,
there, because Anderson Cooper then shows that he was in on this, in my opinion, in clip 33 by instead of brushing it off, Anderson Cooper goes along with his script. Listen to 33.
Governor Romney, you said in 1994 that you looked forward to the day when gays and lesbians could serve, and I quote,
all right, let's
openly.
Stop radio. Why don't you enlist, Anderson? I'm not saying you're gay, but you certainly could enlist if you're so interested in do ask, do tell. Listen to clip 34 again. Old Anderson Cooper shows that he was part of this conspiracy. Listen to 34.
General Kerr is, as I said, is here. Please stand up, General. Thank you very much for being with us. Did you feel you got an answer to your question?
With all due respect, I did not.
All right,
let's get
turn. I don't care about this old queen, frankly. He disgusts me to make it. I my flesh crawls from the old queen. That was a general. Now you wonder why we're still in Iraq 5 years later. General with General Keith Kerr, you know why we're still in Iraq 5 years later. That's all. He wasn't just racking up cue balls at the pool table. Okay, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the whole country's like Rome. It's melting down like Rome. But there it is. You go along with it. I don't. So now you know why people don't like me. They don't like reality. People don't like reality. They want soft talk, nice talk, fake talk. And meanwhile, our enemies are circling us. They're circling us like vultures. So that's what happens when you have weakness at the top and corruption at the top. What you wind up with is an enemy that encircles you. Know, other nations have come and gone. We're on the way out, not on the way in. That's all. So I'll continue with my lawsuit, since you know what I think about the phony Republicans who gobble debate. They could have said, I'm not answering the question. If they had any brains, they would have said, you know what? You didn't ask a question. You sound like you're making an editorial statement. I don't like the smell of it. If they're not smart enough to smell a rat in a debate, how are they going to smell a rat on a battlefield? There, these people are professional politicians. Well, you want me to go on? I'll read it. I'll go to part 30 of the lawsuit. I'm not going to read it all. As set forth herein, CAIR is not a civil rights organization, but is instead a political organization designed to advance a political agenda that is directly opposed to the existence of a free society that includes respect and dignity for all people in all religion. The Foreign Agents Registration Act requires registration as an agent of a foreign principal when an organization acts on the order, request, or under the direction or control of a foreign principal, or whose activities are directed by a foreign principal when that person engages in political activities for or in the interest of such foreign principal or acts in a public relations capacity for a foreign principal. Let's pause right here. Arabs have bought one company after another. They just bought a big piece of Citibank because Clinton's money changer, Robert Rubin, flew there and got on his hands and knees and begged them to bail out the corruption at Citibank. Instead of throwing the guy in jail who they put in, who was an affirmative action, by the way, appointee to Citibank, no one's mentioned that. He came so fast, you didn't even see what happened. He came in and out of the picture. They put an affirmative action head into Citibank. He destroyed the company, put him $20 billion into debt, almost bankrupted it, walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars instead of walking away in an orange jumpsuit. Out comes Robert Rubin, the fly fisherman. He goes to the Arabs, gets on his hands and knees, and lets them buy a huge stake in a Citibank. They're buying our country out. They have public relations entities in this country who are trying to buy our freedoms out. When the heck are you people going to wake up? When? When are you going to wake up and see what's going on here? So you want me to talk about the debate, or you want me to talk about the fact that I'm fighting for my life and your freedom? Daniel in Mississippi, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. My wife won't let me join up in Iraq, else I'd be there tomorrow. But what I can do is support your show, sir. And you put that pledge up, and I'm there. And I think a lot of us in America are there.
Well, I'm going to put it up on Monday. We've got to get a bank. We've got to get a bank to receive the money so people understand that it's not going in my pocket. And we're fighting. This is an epic battle right here. This is as big as they get.
More thing, Mike. This morning I watched the 9/11 videos where the two planes struck the Twin Towers, and I became so outraged again, even though it happened 6 years ago. I got so mad that I'm like,
why aren't those pictures shown in every high school in this country, every college in this country? Why are they not showing the people jumping out of the windows of the World Trade Center rather than burning to death? Thanks for the call, my friend, and I do appreciate your calling on that. O-R-W-O-R, New York. Ellen, your comments, please.
I was just wondering, you're doing this fabulous lawsuit, and you're bringing it into a court of law, and I'm wondering, are there any judges left that know what it is to be American?
I have no idea. Ellen, we're going to find out very soon which side the courts are on. Ellen, I don't know. But you know, when you're attacked, as I am being attacked, you have no choice but to fight. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't say, well, I don't know if I can win or not. So if I can win, I'll fight. If I can't win, I won't fight. You fight until there's nothing left in you. I'm going to fight until it's over. Win or lose, I'm going to fight this battle.
Well, it'll be very...
I hope I win, but I don't know whether the courts are going to find in my favor. I don't know whether they're on the side of a foreign agent or on the side of an American patriot. We'll have to find out, won't we?
But do they remember what it is, what this country was built on, what it is?
What do I know? What do I know? How can I say what a guy in a black robe knows or doesn't know? How do I know? I am praying that they understand what's at stake here, that it goes well beyond whether they like Michael Savage or not, that there's an issue of law here, that copyrighted material of mine was misappropriated, that is stolen, and used against me. That's the only issue here, Ellen. It's not what I said. It's the fact that they stole copyrighted material. You understand this is a copyright lawsuit?
Absolutely.
All right. That's the difference between Daniel Horowitz as a lawyer and another lawyer. He understands how to file a lawsuit. Anyone could file a lawsuit if you just want to make some, waves. Allie, in Salt Lake City, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I'm a Muslim and I'm a Iranian, and I almost every night go to your site and I get the best news and articles because I cannot find them any other places, and I support you 100%. And if anybody go to your site, they will find out which company you're talking about. So I usually spend $300 to $400 a month, which is not that much money, but I cancel my order. I send an email to the company. And also, I had a few hundred shares of that company, which I sold them today. And I'm not going to spend a penny anymore in this company.
Well, Ali, all I could say is I am so thankful. And if other Americans of any religion or atheists, I don't really care what the background is, would do the same over the next few weeks, we might just be able to save this situation. And we might be able to expose this front group. Ali, thanks. You know, it's very encouraging to hear that. Las Vegas, Jason, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say that you're the modern-day version of the Howard Roark, who is struggling and fighting for individual rights and freedom. And my good man, you keep up the good work.
Wait, please, Jason, the modern-day version of who?
Howard Roark.
Now, why Howard Roark?
Well, because he was a man who had a vision and the drive to do things his way. And every turn of his career, he was demoted. He was struggled. He was sabotaged.
It sounds like me. It sounds like me.
And
I don't know who the man was. Was he was that a movie director?
No, it was based on a book by an author.
Okay. I don't know how Howard Roark is, truthfully. Okay, thank you very much. Character in Ayn Rand. Oh. Portland, Maine. Albert, nice to hear from you. What's on your mind, sir? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for the good work. There was a gentleman named Andrew Whitehead who basically showed the terrorist links that CARE had. He has his own website, which is anti-CARE. CARE sued him for $1 million. And after about a year or two, they had to back off because they could not disprove his allegations. So
it's in my lawsuit. We actually spoke to Mr. Whitehead, my lawyer did, and I have the full details of what happened. They didn't lose the lawsuit. They withdrew their suit against Mr. Whitehead's group, the Anti-CARE website, because of one reason. You know what that reason was, Albert?
No.
If they had gone ahead with their lawsuit, they would have had to disclose their funders, who funds them. And they withdrew the lawsuit at that point. You understand that, Albert?
Absolutely.
So, in other words, there's some nefarious winds blowing here in this whole picture. And I know what danger I'm in. And the sad part here is that the FBI and the CIA and all of the others do not defend me. They should be really, frankly, protecting me. They should be. But again, once again, here I am, an American in need, and there's nobody here for me but my own self and my own family and my own lawyer. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back. I'm going to speed through some of this. I'll do speed speaking now. of the lawsuit. It is the essence of freedom that voices can be raised strongly and without fear of illegal retaliation. CAIR attempted to silence Michael Savage by stealing his work, misrepresenting it, and then seeking to have advertisers drop his show. This is a violation of Michael Savage's rights to speech and to his religious beliefs. The conduct of CAIR, in addition to raising money and violating the copyright interests of Michael Savage, was to gain media attention and control so that CAIR would be seen as the moderate voice in the media. In fact, CAIR is a radical voice that deliberately attempts to be seen as centrist so that media time goes to CAIR, and once on the air, CAIR directs its rhetoric to the benefit of its extremist clients. This is a deliberate tactic, and the theft of the copyright material was part of a pattern and practice advancing this tactic. As set forth here in CAIR is not a civil rights organization, but is instead a political organization designed to advance a political agenda that is directly opposed to the existence of a free society that includes respect and dignity for all people and all religion. The copyright infringement herein is part of this plan. CAIR's fundamental purpose is to be a lobbyist for foreign interests. CAIR would have to register as a foreign agent if their activities were not hidden under the false claim that they are a civil rights organization that enjoys tax-exempt status. So he then goes into who founded the group and how they were senior Hamas operatives. And the FBI counterterrorism unit has stated that this original connection is a Hamas front, and that CAIR opened its first office in Washington, D.C. with the help of a $5,000 donation from the Holy Land Foundation, a self-described charity founded by Hamas operative Musa Abu Marzouk. I will not read any more of this, but you will see it. However, the involvement of CAIR's founders in illegal conduct was addressed on February 12, 1995, when U.S. Attorney Mary Jo White named CAIR advisory board member and New York imam Siraj Wahaj as one of the, quote, unindicted persons who may be alleged as co-conspirators in Islamic group leader Omar Abdelrahman's foil plot to blow up numerous New York City monuments. Okay? Prior to 9/11, CAIR continued its claim that it was a civil rights organization. They made this claim when in October of 1998, CAIR demanded the removal of a Los Angeles billboard describing Osama bin Laden as the sworn enemy, asserting that this depiction offensive to Muslims. Do you hear this? CAIR took the side of Osama bin Laden in 1998, saying that the billboard was offensive to Muslims. And my advertisers, some of them, are on the side now of Osama bin Laden. Isn't that something? Also in 1998, CAIR denied bin Laden's responsibility for the two al-Qaeda bombings of American embassies in Africa. CAIR's leader, Ibrahim Hooper, claimed the bombings resulted from, quote, misunderstandings of both sides. In a July 1998 news article, CAIR co-founder Omar Ahmed is quoted speaking to a group of California Muslims. In this article, Ahmed is quoted as saying, quote, Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran should be the highest authority in America, and Islam is the only accepted religion on earth. On October 5, 2001, just weeks after 9/11, CAIR's New York office sent a letter to the New York Times arguing that the paper had misidentified three of the hijackers and suggesting that the attacks may have been committed by people who were impersonating Arab Muslims. CAIR further exploited 9/11 as it put on its website a picture of the World Trade Center in flames, and below it, a call for donations that was linked to the Holy Land Foundation website. I don't think you people understand what's going on here. I don't think you understand how far we have fallen as a nation. I will just read another few pieces here about what went on here and what they've done and who they really are, in the opinion of my attorney. I won't bore you with the details, but you're actually going to get frightened when you see how evil some of these people really are. It should give you chills to think that we have such a weak country that they can get away with this and go after an American patriot such as myself and actually hoodwink advertisers into thinking that they're just a fair-minded civil rights organization. Attacks on other public figures have included an attack on presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani for using the phrase Islamic terrorism and for accepting the endorsement of Pat Robertson, whose endorsement of Giuliani included a reference to the, quote, bloodlust of Islamic terrorists. CAIR also attacked Giuliani's choice of Daniel Pipes as foreign policy advisor. Pipes is the person who first published in 1998 the quotation from CARES co-founder that Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran should be the highest authority in America and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Now, here's the lawsuit that was tried. This is really important. CARE has a pattern of practice of attacking critics. On or about January 6, 2004, an attorney and agent for CARE wrote a cease and desist letter to Andrew Whitehead, who runs a website, www.anticair-net.org. In this letter, CAIR attacked Whitehead's exposure of CARE's foreign ties, deeming those facts as being sociopathic and xenophobic. When Whitehead would not yield to CARE's demands, they filed a $1.3 million libel lawsuit against him. Whitehead countersued, and in his allegations, made assertions similar to those of Daniel Pipes, where he asserted that Douglas Hooper, also known as Ibrahim Hooper, you hear that? You know who Douglas Hooper is, don't you? The holy man who appears every time you see CARE? That smiling man, Douglas Hooper? Ibrahim Hooper? Also worked for the IAP before joining CARE. He has stated, quote, I wouldn't want to create the impression I wouldn't like the government of the United States to be Islamic sometime in the future, quote, close quote. Hooper has defended payments of bounties to the families of suicide bombers who kills Jews, close quote. CARE later dismissed the lawsuit at a time, did you hear this? They dismissed the lawsuit when Whitehead's attorneys started demanding information relating to CARE's sources of funding. I will rest at this point. When Whitehead's lawyers started to demand information relating to CARE's sources of funding, CARE withdrew its lawsuit. And I'm not here all alone. Not one Jewish organization has written a letter on my behalf. Not one Christian organization has written a letter on my behalf. After all the years I have supported the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches, after all I have done for the Jewish people and the Jews, you know what I got back? Nothing. Nothing. Right now, Michael Savage and organized religion have had a divorce. I am divorcing myself from all organized religion for the rest of my career. I will have nothing to do with organized religion. You love God, you love the Bible, that's good enough for me. Organized religion, you know what it is to me? A racket from the top to the bottom. A racket, a con, a Ponzi scheme. They're not there when you need them. They just want to mulk the public.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The big story in the Savage Nation tonight is that there will be a major federal lawsuit filed on Monday with a major league. Well, it's going to be filed Monday against CAIR, who has misappropriated copyrighted material from my radio show, taken it out of context, and has been attacking me for about four weeks now, and having some advertisers who don't really know who they are and who I am drop the show. And I have millions of people who, if I want to, millions of people, if I put the names of these companies up on my website, can make decisions on their own. I'm not ready to do that. I'm going to call upon you next week to make donations to the Michael Savage Defense Fund, because it's going to cost me probably $200,000 to $300,000 to fight this epic battle. Make no mistake about it. You have to understand what is at stake. It's not just me. You don't even have to like me to understand what's at stake. If you let this radical Islamic front group take down Michael Savage, who's next? Tell me who's next. When they came for the gypsies, I did not raise my voice because I was not a gypsy. When they came for the Jews, I did not raise my voice because I was not a Jew. When they came for the communists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a communist. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out, and he was put into a concentration camp. His name was Cardinal Niemöller, a Protestant clergyman during a Hitler's reign of terror. Do you understand what's at stake here? You'd think Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Hannity would say, you know what, I don't like Savage with competitors, but darn it, it's in my own self-interest to help him because I'll be helping myself. But some men have limits to their ability to think and see. They're small-minded, in other words. So I don't really need them. I need you. You can spread the word to your friends, to other friends. You can call these shows and tell them to support me. The other big story is that Hillary planted a false general into the Republican debate last night. Keith Kerr is a retired colonel in the U.S. Army. We don't know what he was in charge of, perhaps bathroom stalls. He's a retired brigadier general in the California National Reserve. That means that Arnold Schwarzenegger appointed him. But in fact, Keith Kerr is actually a member of Hillary Clinton's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transsexual Americans for Hillary Steering Committee. He's also part of a film production crew trying to overturn the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. I believe Anderson Cooper was in on this lie. And the reason I say that is because Anderson Cooper could have stopped him, but instead Anderson Cooper continued to push this issue of gays and lesbians. Now, Anderson Cooper, who I've called Anderson Blooper for years affectionately, I don't have anything against the guy. He looks like a nice enough guy to me. But I know Anderson Cooper has a little, let's say, orientation towards this subject. Okay, and he has a right to do so. He just ought to come out and say why he let this happen. Listen to what went on last night in clip 31.
Today, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is destructive to our military policy. Every day, the Department of Defense discharges two people, not for misconduct, not for the unit cohesion, but simply because they happen to be gay.
Okay.
And we're talking
Senator
about
McCain.
Doctors, nurses, pilots, okay. And the surgeon right. who sews somebody up.
You hear the sheeple in the background starting to make sounds? Now you say, well, maybe Cooper didn't know. Well, listen to clip 34.
General Kerr is here. Please stand up, General. Thank you very much for being with us. Did you feel you got an answer to your question?
All right. You hear that? I mean, this is a setup. You know, Cooper, it's an embarrassment. You spend so much time trying to build up your reputation. It's sad. You work very hard at it, Anderson. You do a good job as a TV guy. You really do. But why do you have to push this agenda on the Republicans who are so weak-minded that they wouldn't see through this? And here's what worries me. I really don't care about the don't ask, don't tell issue. What bothers me is that these sheeple in gray flannel suits up there didn't have the brains to see through this setup. If they can't see through this setup, how are they going to see through our enemies who are 100 times smarter than them, tougher than them, and more deceitful than them? How? That's what worries me. Don't you understand how dangerous this is that we have such organization men running for office in a time like this? That's why I'm going to go back to my lawsuit now. It's going to be filed Monday. You're getting a peek inside something that no one in America has heard yet. Remember, CAIR attacked me. They could have gone on their good merry way and done what they do, but they didn't. They chose to try to destroy my show. They have caused me irreparable harm. This is my defense. Clause 67, page 17 of the lawsuit that will be filed on Monday. Based upon these facts and further facts to be produced at trial, plaintiff alleges that CAIR is not a civil rights organization, but instead is a political vehicle of international terrorism, and that the copyright infringement itself and the manner in which the material was used was part of a deliberate practice and pattern to do material harm to those voices who speak against the violent agenda of CAIR's clients. The attack on Rudy Giuliani, Daniel Pipes, Andrew Whitehead, and Michael Savage are part of a pattern and practice to silence critics of CAIR and critics of CAIR's foreign agenda under the false guise of civil rights. In the summer of 2007, CAIR supported international terror when, in response to renewed fighting between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon and Palestinian terror organizations in Gaza, CAIR did not condemn the terror organizations that provoked the fighting, but instead launched an anti-Israel media campaign. This has nothing to do with the civil rights of Muslim Americans. When CAIR is criticized for these tactics, it unleashes campaigns against these critics under the guise of civil rights, as set forth above and as will be further proven at trial. Jury trial demand clause 70. Michael Savage hereby demands a jury trial in this manner. matter. Michael Savage seeks general and special damages according to proof. Michael Savage does not presently elect, but reserves the right to elect statutory damages as set forth in 17 U.S. Code 504. Michael Savage further contends that the actions of defendants in each of them were wanton, willful, and malicious. Michael Savage contends that the actions of defendants were criminal, as defined under 17 U.S. Code 506. For these reasons and for the reasons set forth herein, Michael Savage is entitled to punitive and exemplary damages. Michael Savage further seeks costs and attorney's fees as allowed under 17 U.S. Code 505. Carr has been given notice of the registration of the copyright. Copyright registration has been obtained, and CAIR, after receiving notice of the copyright infringement, has continued to infringe. I think I've read enough. I think you got the picture. Not only is this going to be an important lawsuit, I believe this could be something that is heard before the U.S. Supreme Court. This lawsuit could change the course of American history. You say, what, are you, crazy? No, listen to me carefully. Single lawsuits have changed the course of this country, whether it was the Roe v. Wade lawsuit, or it was a civil rights lawsuit, Title VII, or whether it was, on the other side, the pornographer Larry Flint using the First Amendment to push pornography down everybody's throat. That's the power of the courts. Well, let me tell you something. Suddenly, it's not the Warren Court anymore. The court right now is centrist right. Remember that the court now is a centrist right Supreme Court. And when this arrives at that level, if it should, I am optimistic that they will understand what is at stake here. And that to permit this foreign front group to silence critics under the guise of civil rights will eventually lead to the meltdown of freedom of speech in the United States of America. Again, I say, you don't have to like Michael Savage's message to understand that all messages are threatened right now. I want to go back to one clause for those of you who are really smart. There's a very important, here it is, it's clause 12. Here's the something that you should know is going to be very important for you. I believe the tapes of my show were stolen by a certain group set up by Hillary Clinton. They specialize in attacking me and conservatives. In clause 12, here's what we state. Defendants named herein as does 1 to 100 are defendants whose true names and capacities are presently unknown. When the names and identities of said does are ascertained, this complaint will be amended to reflect the same. These defendants include persons and entities that have conspired with care to violate the rights of plaintiff as set forth herein. I don't think you understand how far this could go. It could go so far that all of the enemies of freedom, all of the brown shirts, all of the fascists who have been doing damage to the First Amendment and to the United States Constitution and freedom of speech itself will be exposed in courts in the United States of America. Do you understand what's at stake here? Do you understand or not? Yes or no? San Diego, Rondi, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, we understand. Michael, I have five little words for you. They're very, very powerful. Savage, you are not alone.
Well, I hear that from a lot of people. What does it mean, though?
Mean? Well, we're part of your family. I want to tell you that. You're kind of...
I know you mean it spiritually and emotionally, but let me tell you, I am alone. I am alone because the media is against me, including the fake conservatives. You know how long I've talked about the Republicans who have, you know, sold us down the river on immigration and things of that nature? How do they differ from the talk show hosts who see a fellow talk show host who they may be in competition with, but even intelligent people would understand there's a time to draw your wagons in a circle? Why won't they do it?
Because they don't want the truth to come out, just like you were saying with Hillary. I picked up on that a while ago, that she's behind all this.
Well, we're going to find out in the court who's behind all of this. It's out of my hand as of Monday. If Hillary Clinton could put a fake general into a YouTube debate in cahoots with CNN, when he's actually a member of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transsexual Americans for Hillary's steering committee and get away with it, with Anderson Cooper not being thrown out of CNN, I'd like to know what hope there is for this country. I mean, Anderson Cooper theoretically did far worse than Dan Rather, by the way. This is way beyond Dan Rather, way beyond Dan Rather, what Cooper did here. I have reason to believe he was in on it. Why? Because he didn't stop the questioning by this fake general. He went back and said in clip 34 the following. Listen.
General Kerr is, as I said, is here. Please stand up, General. Thank you very much for being with us. Did you feel you got an answer to your question?
Stop right here. In other words, Cooper was in on it with Kerr, clearly by his behavior. He should be thrown out of the Society of Professional Frauds. I'll be right back. Savage. CAIR is being found out little by little. The problem is our government is doing nothing because they're busy basically doing other things. Here is an author, Richard Miniter, who is upset because CAIR has not come out and denounced the Sudanese government decision to sentence British teacher Gillian Gibbons to 40 lashes for naming a class teddy bear Mohammed. Listen to clip 5.
Well, I find even the silence of CAIR hypocritical. They're willing to go to Denmark and complain about a bunch of Danish cartoons making fun, some of the cartoons, making fun of the Prophet Muhammad. But here's a 54-year-old woman, a woman who went to Sudan with all the right instincts to teach 7-year-olds, who's about to receive up to 40 lashes. She could actually die in the course of that, assuming it's a non-sterile environment. And here's a woman's life on the line, and CAIR won't come out and say, this is not what Islam's about. And I suspect the reason why they won't do that is they receive the bulk of their money from people who agree with Saudi fundamentalists. And in fact, in Saudi Arabia, 40 lashes would be considered mild.
Now listen to the next.
I think American Muslims are waking up to CAIR because they had 27,000 individual donors in 2000. Their tax returns for 2006 showed that they dropped from 27,000 to live up to about 2,000 individual donors. So I think American Muslims have wised up that this group doesn't really represent them, but represents a foreign ideology, an ideology even alien to traditional Islam.
Well, I wish that my advertisers understood who CAIR really is. It's a shame that they're on the side of terrorism. It's astounding how stupid some of these people are, that they don't even understand that millions of Americans are going to be shocked that they haven't awakened to how they were duped. Listen to clip 7.
They didn't attack any terrorist attacks before 9/11, and their disputes after the 9/11 attacks are, you know, largely ceremonial.
Okay.
There doesn't seem to be much passion in them. They issued dozens of press releases related to the Danish cartoons and one on 9/11. I think that speaks volumes.
All right. Now you can talk on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. KNEW, my local flagship station here in San Francisco. Sean, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. I just want to say you're my hero, and I went to your website today and saw what was happening, and I was very discouraged. So I followed the links, and I did what they said, and I called the service representative of the company that is no longer supporting you, and I calmly and with, you know, calmness told them exactly how I felt. I'm a teacher here in the Bay Area. I teach K-12 in the charter schools, which means I have to buy a lot of supplies for myself that the schools will not supply me with. So I have to spend my own money, about $100 to $200 a week at this company.
Wow.
And I told them today I had to cancel my account with them. I had to go there today. I was supposed to go there today to buy a huge shipment of stuff for this coming semester. Now, I have to go out of my way several more miles away to a different company to buy from them, probably at more expense because I had a discount program at this company. So you are not alone. You have my support, and I can't wait for Monday till I can send you some of my hard-earned cash.
Sean, I'm a former teacher. I can't believe that you have to spend $200 a week of your own money. But if I could get 10,000 teachers who spend $200 a week to cancel their accounts with these people who don't know who they're in bed with, they may get the message. I think you should put it in writing, though, Sean. I think you should send an email to the CEO of these companies. Never mind a service rep. They're not going to pass the message on. But God bless you, man. I mean, there's nobody, to me, there's two professions that are the most underpaid and the most underrecognized in this country, teaching and police work. They have to be done out of a love for the job, or they would not be done at all. So you're doing God's work, Sean. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8255, Canton, Ohio. Kim, quickly, you're on the air with Michael Savage. and others?
They're going to try and bog you down and derail you with the lunatic, godless people that run the Ninth District Court of Appeals.
That could happen. It could happen, but we're going to hope that the terms of the lawsuit are so specific, so specialized, and so focused on copyright infringement that any court will have to accept this lawsuit. Thank you for the call. It all depends upon what you're claiming. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. There's so much going on in our country right now, and if we have candidates on the Republican side who are so weak-willed and weak-minded that they would let a Hillary Clinton fake general, gay military plant, put an editorial into the conference and not see him for what he was, how are they going to defend this against our real enemies? Our real enemies are not Hillary Clinton. Our real enemies are Islamofascists who want to destroy our way of life. And if they're not tough-minded enough to have seen this from a mile away and speak out against it, how in the world are they going to protect us from the real enemies out there, China, the Chinese military threat? What are they going to do, have peace missions and open up our submarines to the People's Liberation Army admirals like they've been doing? What is going on here? Where are the men of the past who knew about these things, who could smell a rat from a mile away and throw it out of the door? Where are they? Can you imagine what we're arguing over here last night? No one raised the issue of the war on terror, not once. So they're arguing over gays in the military, not how to win a war and kill the enemy. You hear this? But whether we should have more homosexuals in the military, not how to kill the enemy. Are we training our men to kill enough? Have we taught them how to cut the enemy's heart out and how to kill them before they get killed? Did anyone ask any of them why Colonel Chesani is being crucified by George Bush? That would have been a good question. Why was that not in the YouTube debate? Because none of the organization men who are running wanted the question asked. What do you think this was? It's like a show trial. Yeah, look, if I have a choice between Giuliani or Mitt Romney over Hillary Clinton or Obama, I'm going to vote for Giuliani or Mitt Romney. I have to. I have to gamble that there'll be 55% of what I want as opposed to 0% of what I want to save America. Of course I will. There's no question about it. I'm not a fool. With 28 million people on my website who said, Mike, what should we do, basically? When the time comes, you'll decide what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But right now, I have my own battles to worry about. This is the number one thing. If I don't beat them in this court, I'm finished in radio. Do you understand that? And I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to beat them in court. And when I beat them in court, it's going to be a seminal victory for all of free speech, for all of talk radio, for the gays, for the women, for the oppressed gays and women throughout the Islamo-fascist land. Don't you understand what's at stake? You read in the news that a woman teacher in the Sudan, names a teddy bear Muhammad, they're going to lash her, beat her up, and the National Organization for Weaklings says nothing. None of the peace groups say anything. Don't you understand who they are? So there we are. Now I'll take your calls. Now I will take your calls. I don't know who to take, truthfully, right now. Let's go to RKO, Boston, Massachusetts. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, a very, very simple 2 points. That is, CARE ought to be shut down under the Sedition Act. And point number two, if CARE isn't shut down, America will be like France. The ghetto enclaves of France are burning it down, just like in France, just like in America, our ghetto enclaves will burn us down at the spurring
right.
of
now,
CARE.
Now, we have a seditious press. I'm glad you brought up the Muslims rioting in France who are now shooting the police, and the police are not shooting back. I want you to understand how far the West has fallen already. We're losing this war, by the way, Jeff. I don't think you understand how bad this really is, everyone. Listen carefully. I want you to listen to the sick mind of the New York Times, Elaine Schiolino. Listen to this headline about the French riots. In French suburbs, same rage but new tactics. She's taking the side of the terrorists in the streets of France. Oh, way cool. Wow. You know why they have rage, she says? Well, she tells you why. They're frustrated, they're angry, and they're particularly undereducated. And their needs have not been met. Elaine Schiellino should have her head shaved after this war is over. Like the collaborators after World War II who were spat upon by the French for collaborating with the German Nazi. That's what we have in this country today. We have collaborationists in the news media. 2 years after France's immigrant suburbs exploded in rage, you see the justification? The rituals and acts of resentments have reappeared with an eerie sameness. And while the scale of the unrest does not yet compare, blah, 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 in some sense they're more menacing, says Elaine Schiellino. The one-time rock throwers and car burners have taken up hunting shotguns and turned them on the police. More than 100 officers have been wounded, several of them seriously. 30 of them were hit with buckshot and pellets from shotguns. And one of the wounded cops was hit with a type of bullet used to kill large game. One of the officers lost an eye. Another shoulder was shattered by gunfire. But she didn't take the side of the police, Elaine Schiellino of the New York Times. She took the side of the poor Muslim immigrants because they're oppressed, you see. They didn't get enough money for free. So when you have a collaborationist press on the side of the enemy, and you have liberal courts on the side of the enemy, and you have Democrat politicians on the side of the enemy, I ask you if this country will survive. Do you understand that I'm really only one soldier in this long battle? I may win or I may lose this battle. I hope I win. I have the best attorney in the United States of America. I may or may not win this battle, but I won't be the first or the last to fight this battle against evil. I'm telling you right now, you are going to be the millions of people who determine the outcome of my battle and the battle for America. Not Mitt Romney, not Giuliani. No, you stopped the illegal immigration invasion. You stopped it because you found out that McCain and Kennedy did this to you in the dark of the night. McCain is a disgrace. He shouldn't have he shouldn't even be on the stage anyway. He was booed last night. This man is going to lose his seat in Arizona. Mark my words, he won't even be a senator. I said not so jokingly yesterday during the debates that McCain wouldn't even be able to sell Yugos to Mongolians after this. But remember what I'm saying to you. This goes way beyond one man. So when my lawsuit is filed by the attorney, Mr. Daniel Horowitz, on Monday in the United States District Court, on Monday against CAIR with a complaint for damages, we're going to pray that the courts understand what's at stake. And we're going to pray that they do the right thing irrespective of whether they like me or hate me or never heard of me. Because I am an American patriot. Whether they like me or they don't like me, I have a right to be who I am. But that's not the nature of the lawsuit. It's not even about my free speech. What it is about is something entirely different. CAIR infringed upon copyrighted material. They took a segment of my show illegally. They posted it on their website out of context. They spliced it and took it out of context in cahoots with invisible people who will be discovered in the court during discovery, and they used it to destroy me, my reputation, and my advertising base. So we're asking for relief in the courts. Clause 16, Carrie packaged the content of Michael Savage's show and manipulated that stolen content so that it could be used by Care to raise funds. Little or none of the money raised went to alleged civil rights activities. It's a seminal battle. It's going to be as big as Roe v. Wade. Mark my words, this thing is going to be seminal. You know, you hear references like Roe v. Wade, you agree in Roe v. Wade. This is going to be the Savage case. This will go down in history. One way or the other, this will become a historic case. And then you're going to make your voice heard when the time is right by buying or not buying, either from those who drop me or those who are going to take me. And I'll tell you right now, some have increased their advertising. Swiss America, the gold folks, the greatest people on earth. They've been with me from the first day in radio. God bless that man. And you know what? I wouldn't be saying it if I didn't think it was a good company. Anyone who's invested made money with them. From the beginning, it's never gone down. So I'm proud to tell you that they're behind me, as are many, many others. Okay, don't think everybody's weakened up. It's a few. because they don't know who CARE is and they don't know who I am. You see? 1-800-449-8255. Please visit michaelsavage.com and look at the positive statements I have made about Muslims over the years. You think I made this up yesterday to appeal to you? You're wrong. I have said positive things about Muslims from the beginning, and I'll prove it to you right now. Yes, I will do it. I'm going to go back to a clip. I don't know what year this is from, not 07. Let's go back and show people it's been going on quite a while. Let's go back to a fast one so I don't bore the people. Let's hear clip 44. Guys, move it. Move it. Okay.
I have an acquaintance from Morocco who is more terrified of the radical Muslims than I am and has lost relatives to them. I have also stated that there have been about 100,000 or more deaths in Algeria amongst mainstream or, let us say, not radical Muslims from the radical Al-Qaeda types who have tried to convert them and by killing them.
Okay, that was 11-21-06. So Michael knows the difference between Islamists and Muslims. Listen to clip 3, please. I'm sorry, clip 42.
I've been to Israel, not recently, but believe me, the Western-educated Palestinians would just as soon run a business and make a living. They don't need warfare. Most of this is coming from the fanatics, the mullahs, the imams, the fanatics. You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. Again, I distinguish between Palestinians and the fanatics, like the Hamasniks. Listen to this one. This was done in 2005, clip 41.
Houston, Texas, Muhammad, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Great show, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to call and to tell you that I completely agree with you on your point regarding Hollywood and the influence on the Islamic world that it has in a negative sense.
Yeah, in other words, my main point is that unless we stop this sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood from flowing into homes in the Middle East, we're going to continue to have terrorism. It will never end. These men would rather die than let their wives and daughters become harlots and mentally corrupt.
You're right to that point. I mean, I'm not Arab. You know, I'm obviously Muslim. I'm from Eastern Europe. I've been in this country, you know, 12 years, and I support America in a lot of ways. You know, but what is really really degrading the value that this country used to have. And
so let's pause right here. So it's a funny thing that you may not know it, but probably, if you were a Muslim listener to this show for a number of years and actually heard me over the years, on issues to do with family values and how to raise children, we probably agree 100%. I'm sure we disagree on the Middle East to a certain extent. Nobody agrees with anybody. Probably don't agree with your wife or your brother-in-law on everything. But this was left out of CARE's depiction of me in their attempt to destroy me. And that's why they must be brought to court, so that I could set the record straight. Yesterday I had a call on the Savage Nation. Listen to clip. I'm sorry. That was too recent for you. You'll think I'm just making this up. Here's one from October 5th, 2006, clip 43. Well, what's... Come on, guys.
Cincinnati, let's Ohio. Go. Douglas, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I agree with you. I've been a Muslim for 18 years, and there are a lot of misrepresentation inside of Islam with some of the whack jobs across the planet. And I think if you read Quran, you would understand that a lot of the stuff that they do is definitely a misrepresentation of Islam.
Well, I don't have to read the Quran to know that cutting an innocent person's throat is wrong. I would just hope that the Muslims like yourself, you know, reject their call. I mean, you know, we, the people in the country who are not Muslim, can't understand how they could rip off a religion like this. And
all right,
and
there it is, rip off a religion. So when you come to understand who I am, you see I'm fair-minded. I'm in favor of all religions because I think that religions can be a stabilizing influence for people. And I've said so. And I've been supportive of religions for years. And the fact is they took my comments out of context, misappropriated copyright-protected material, made this material available on the CARE website, and they did it for political purposes, unrelated to civil rights, and unrelated to CARE's tax-exempt status. This copyright infringement is what the case is all about. Chicago, Illinois. Andy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, all aboard the Savage Train to Freedom. I didn't wait till Monday for you to announce it. I went onto your website. I found the companies through the links, and I made a couple of phone calls today for, in fact. And I spoke with the secretary. I was very, very kind. She was absolutely clueless to care who they were, what they stood for, held for a manager, and got on there, and they finally told me that it was basically that you were controversial, and that was the reason that they didn't want to sponsor you anymore.
Well, then you can tell them you don't want to buy from them anymore.
That absolutely, that's what I told them. And
you'll tell them you're going to buy from their competition, who will soon be advertising on this show. Listen, with every lemon you can make into a lemonade, let me tell you, this show is going to come out stronger than it was. And that's all there is to it. I didn't come this far to let a group of terrorist front group drive me out of business. I'll tell you right now, it's not about me anymore. It's way beyond me. Here's a letter from a friend of the family who's a lawyer. Michael Savage, you can really do a service in your discovery process. You have the perfect combination of radio, good legal representation, and financial resources. Discover the enemy to death and make them believe that you will never settle, because I know you never will. It will be a seminal case. Wishing you all the luck, Chris. Chris, thank you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Including this hour, I want to tell you something. Over the years, I've talked about the astonishing ascension of the Muslims in the 7th century. I've done it over and over again about the most amazing story of conquest in the whole history of the human race. And it was about the smashing of the Byzantine army, etc., and I went on. But I then went on to tell you that after the Arabs had conquered a goodly portion of the world, including the Persians, and you don't know that the Persians at the time were not originally Muslim. They moved forward into up to China, and they knocked over Egypt, et cetera, and they went on and on and on. Then eventually the Arab advance was stopped for good by the French at the Battle of Poitiers, but that's because they had a different kind of Frenchman then than they do today. And then, of course, the point I am getting at is that after this conquest, interesting things occurred, which was the wonderful effect upon the human race after the wars by the Arab intelligence, because the Arab intelligence had been flung across the world more swiftly and dramatically than had the Greek mind 1,000 years before. And as a result, the whole world west of China was intellectually stimulated, breaking up old ideas and developing new ones. It was enormous. And so in Persia, the Arabic mind came into contact with the Zoroastrian and the Christian doctrines, with the scientific Greek literature. And it was found not only in Greek, but in Syrian translations. The Arab mind found Greek learning in Egypt. And then in Spain, strangely enough, the Arab mind found an active Jewish tradition of speculation and discussion, and they worked together. In Central Asia, the Arab mind met Buddhism and the material achievements of the Chinese. It learned the manufacture of paper, and they learned how to make printed books from the Chinese. And then it came in touch with Indian mathematics and philosophy. And you know what happened? The intolerant self-sufficiency of the early days of faith, which made the Quran seem the only possible book, was soon dropped by the Muslim. And learning sprang up everywhere in the footsteps of the Arab conquerors. By the 8th century, there was an educational organization throughout the whole Arabized world. In the 9th century, learned men in the schools of Cordoba in Spain were corresponding with learned men in Cairo, Baghdad, Bukhara, and Samarkand. The Jewish mind assimilated very readily with the Arab, and for a time, the two Semitic races worked together. What I am telling you is that by the 9th century, the Muslim had become a progressive, advanced mind. And right now we have retrograde throwbacks, such as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran, who are actually pre-9th century Muslim in what he says, where he tries to impose the Quran upon the world. That was dropped by the 9th century when they lived with others. So what I'm telling you is that the average Muslim knows this. The average Muslim knows this, that there are throwbacks who are trying to drag the world back, not to the 9th century, but to the 7th century.
And that is why you must fight them with everything in you, particularly if you are a woman or if you are gay. You must join me in this battle. It's the last battle there is on this earth. There will never be another one like it. I'm Michael Savage, and with God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
So today I'm reading a boating magazine in the toilet. I get the boating magazines for the toilet. It's a good place to peruse such heavy reading material. I like to look at the water there, the boats, the mega yachts that I can't afford, you know. But one article caught my eye, the Russian petro billionaires and the kind of boats that they're building. And the world's largest private yacht to be named Eclipse is being built by a man who's in the home of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin, which is now the hottest mega yacht market in the world, Russia, where people are still starving, where people are living like serfs. There is a class of billionaire crooks who stole the oil and commodities out of the ground. They're living like czars, and they're outflanking even the Arabs in terms of super yacht purchases. So the biggest one will be built by a guy in Russia. It'll be a 557-foot mega yacht. 557 feet, 170 meters, to be built by Blohm & Voss, a subsidiary of Germany's ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems. And that will cast a shadow over the current Lord of the Seas, the 525-foot Dubai, owned by Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, ruler of Dubai. Ha ha ha. Dubai. Wonder where they get all their money from in Dubai. Well, they can certainly buy our ex-senators and secretaries of state for less money than you can buy a prostitute on eBay or wherever you find them. To him, they're cheaper. A senator to go around and walk around and try to peddle them? Well, less than a massage therapist. So the Russians are now outspending the others. Russia's eighth richest man, Suleiman Kerimkov, had it all, including the 295-foot Lursen boat, ICE, when he crashed his Ferrari in Nice, and now he's in a burn ward. Now, how do they make all of this money? How do they make so much money that they can buy two and three yachts? Some of these guys own three of them. One of them gave away a yacht of about 200 feet to a friend. So who are these oligarchs, these modern czars of Russia? They're young, in their 30s or 40s. They're billionaires overnight. And as much of Russia is floundering in a post-communist collapse, a handful of high-powered crooks with good political connections succeeded in gaining control of the country's vast state-owned industries and natural resources. They literally bought them. And how did they buy them? They didn't have any money. Many of them were college professors. But they were well-connected with the government. Follow me here because it's very similar to America. They were connected to the politicians, the corrupt politicians, and they get control of the vast state-owned industries and natural resources. How? Well, this took the form of loans for shares, deals and auctions, which some regard as the greatest scandal of the Boris Yeltsin era. And when Vladimir Putin, the old KGB chief, took over from Yeltsin, Putin was expected to undo the oligarchs' wealth. But what he said to them was, if you stay out of politics, I will not touch you. And so one of these guys bought a company called Sibneft, a company sitting on 30% of Russia's oil. You hear this? One man could buy a company called Sibneft. This was, remember, Russia was a socialist state. So the oil, the gas, the metals, the gold, the silver was all owned by the government. So now during privatization under Yeltsin, these crooks come along and through corrupt politicians and payoffs, they get to buy all of these commodities, these natural resources. So this guy buys for $200 million 30% of Russia's oil, not of his own money, but he borrows the money because of the value of the oil in the ground. So he borrows the money, he buys it, and then in 2005, Gazprom, Russia's state-owned gas company, buys out this 30% of the oil for $13 billion for Sibneft. So the guy borrows $200 million, and he makes $13 billion. You hear this? Then he buys $300 million worth for the $300 million boat, the Eclipse, he's having built. And he also owns the Chelsea England Football Club. He owns a Boeing 767 airplane, a townhouse in Belgravia, central London, a 440-acre estate in Sussex, and a villa in the south of France. He is also the governor of Chukotka and is reportedly trying to buy Silvio Berlusconi's former villa in Sardinia. I read in the article, none of the above information was made available by the secretive mogul. It says he doesn't comment on his personal property. Ranked by Forbes as the world's 16th richest man, worth $18.7 billion, this guy will add Eclipse to a private fleet that already includes three other mega yachts, 377-foot Polaris, 282-foot S. Castilla, and 160-foot Susurro. Once he had four mega yachts, but he gave away the fourth yacht, 370-foot Le Grand Bleu, complete with aquarium, cinema, and helicopter, to a business associate. Now, why am I telling you this story? Because in all nations, there arises a class of pirates. With unlimited greed, they have no nation. They're transnational pirates, in my humble opinion.
Savage.
So I had a dream. It was a weird dream. And I'll make it simple. Many of you don't care about my affairs. Some of you do. Here it is. It was like a prophetic dream for me, and I'm sharing it with you because I want to know what you think of it. I'm standing with an Iraqi man. He was clearly an Iraqi man. There were four children, and they were little children. They were under 5 years old, and they were all trying to throw stones at me. They did not know who I was, but I was not of them. I was not Iraqi. I was different. I was not one of them. I was an outsider. The children had large brown stones, and they were sort of waddling over with these large stones, trying to throw them at my feet. They were big stones. They were brown stones. The children could hardly lift them up. And these little children had no eyes. Their eyes looked ghoulish. They looked like they had no soul. They were blindly hating the outsider. They were the golem. They were the golem. They were the soulless. They hated the non-Iraqi, the non-Muslim. And they were walking and stumbling, trying to drop these rocks at my feet. Suddenly, one of the four boys put the rock down. The Iraqi father and I looked at each other, and we got on the ground, and we almost started to cry. We started to pray to God, he in his way, and me in my way. We realized that there was one child amongst them who could break free of the chain of hatred. In essence, he was the Messiah of the Iraqi people, perhaps the Messiah of the Muslim people. I was almost to cry with joy that finally one of them was not hateful and murderous. The Muslim father, who was a good man, was crying with joy. He saw hope for his people, that hatred could be, perhaps they could be let out of hatred by their own Messiah. And then this child who dropped the rock and didn't want to hit me with it started to drool and drool and drool. And I couldn't stand the drooling. And I got up and I said, I can't wait for this. I can't take this. I don't like drool. I can't wait for the child to grow up and stop drooling. And I got up and the dream ended. I'll let you interpret the savage dream of the drooling child, because I know what it means. And it's pretty clear to me what it means. That A, we don't have time to wait for the Messiah to arise amongst the Muslim people. Somebody better arise real fast, or there's going to be a blowout between the Christians and the Muslims. And I can tell you right now who loses.
Savage.
I sat up there on a hill looking at the bay and looking at, I fed some fish. I have a place on in a hidden place with a fish pond with some fish. It's funny, you know, the fish have babies. They haven't given up a desire to reproduce. It's funny. I guess they haven't read the New York Times. They don't realize how primitive they are. The boy fish and the girl fish still do it. And there's minnows. There's big fish and then there's minnows. I guess they haven't read the San Francisco Chronicle, realizing how gauche they are. Laying eggs, ugh, viviparous reproduction, yuck, yuck. eggs. Yeah, that's not cute. You know, the woman fish gets fat. She loses her shape. She doesn't look like a drunk stew bum on Sunset Boulevard puking on herself, going to prison for driving drunk. That's the princess of the United States of America, a drunk stew bum who pukes on herself.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Sex predators on TV. Let's talk about that. Mike is a sheriff in San Diego. Mike, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I wanted to talk to you about the rights that you were referring to earlier but with the sex predators, the right to...
Yes, I am, as an outsider looking in, wondering why when that creep from NBC who entraps them doesn't say, you have a right to remain silent. Why doesn't he have to say that?
Well, because the rights you're referring to are Miranda rights, and those only have to be issued by a law enforcement officer.
So this guy from NBC is doing something very strange here. The police theoretically should go in and bust the guy right off the bat, and then he would have Miranda rights, correct? The would-be molester?
If someone is in custody by the police and by the police only, then he is subject to the rights under Miranda. That is correct.
All right. So this guy's tricking them twice, the would-be sex predator. They're using a decoy girl who's not 14, number one. It's somebody who gets her rocks off by breaking men, number two. Number two, they're not sending police in to break them, to arrest them, so they can trick them into talking on camera.
Well, it is entrapment.
I understand they're trying to stop sex predators. We all agree that needs to be done. What I object to is that these people are not being given their Miranda rights, and I see what you're saying now, how the NBC is deviously getting around offering these men their Miranda rights. I didn't know why NBC was able to do this.
And even law enforcement officers, when we're conducting investigations, all the time we will talk to people when we're doing an investigation and ask them questions without Miranda rights when a person is not yet in custody. And it's done all the time, and it's perfectly legal.
All right, so what about the cops making him get on the ground? Why do they have to do that? These guys are not armed. They're not dangerous. Why must they get on the ground with drawn guns? It seems a little overkill to me.
It might be, and it might be for effect of the cameras. I don't know, and I'd have to be in that situation before I would do something like that.
Most of these guys break down into jelly the minute this guy walks out and says he's from NBC. They're already crying. They're broken. They know their life is over. We understand that there would be predators. That we understand. We've got to stop them. But to me, I don't know who's the bigger predator, them or NBC. That's what I'm getting at. It seems to me big fish is eating little fish here. The NBC predator is eating the molester predator for ratings. That's what I'm getting at. There's something so wrong with that picture. I can't take that show anymore. I never knew there were that many sickos out there. I got to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are.
Why is there an epidemic of sickos like this looking to molest young girls? Where did this come from?
Well, my answer is one word, and that's liberalism. I think it goes back to society and parenting, and I think you can trace it back to the way they were raised or not raised. I mean, in my line of work, when I see people and I wonder why they are the way they are, 9 times out of 10, I look at their parents and their family life and the way they were brought up.
And I notice a lot of them are foreigners, you know, here on either illegal aliens. They never tell you that, but a lot of them look like illegal aliens because this is not considered illegal in their own country, by the way. I don't know if we know that, but a lot of these guys look to be illegal aliens who are, yeah, they're predators, but in their countries, I think it's legal to be a predator.
Well, when you look at a lot of the Southeast Asian countries, too, are the same way. Thailand, for example.
Well, there's something wrong about the big predator called NBC using these sickos for ratings. That's what I'm getting at. You know, I don't mind the police catching these guys before they can hurt children, but I get an icky feeling when I see this guy on NBC making it into some cause that he's some noble guy when I know he's using these guys. Thanks for the call.
Savage.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Tiffany, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Savage. Just calling to let you know that I really enjoy listening to your show.
That's all? That's the whole thing?
No, that's not the whole thing.
Give me the whole thing. Give me the whole shot.
I enjoy listening to your show. I happen to learn a lot when I'm listening to your show. And
oh, that's nice. I do. I try to bring a little more than I have to, you know, because otherwise people would find it boring unless you give them a little poetry, a little learning, a little sign. Yeah, I bet you go away feeling you learned a little, like you were a little bit in school, but in a fun way.
Yeah, in a fun and crazy kind of way. I wish you wouldn't get so upset, though, because I declare I have to turn because I'm thinking you're going to fall out on the radio.
No, I worry about it myself too, Tiffany. Sometimes I say, you know, at night I can't sleep. It's I get so worked up over these issues like immigration and diseases, I go crazy. And then I get agitated to the point where I worry myself. I say, what are you, nuts? You're going to wind up dying here. The last thing that your fear, Tiffany, is that one day I'm going to be screaming and yelling, and this is the last thing you're going to hear. And I'll tell you! That's your fear, is the mic goes over and I'm finished.
Well, you just keep doing what you're doing.
I'm sending you a copy of the Political Zoo.
Savage.
I'm concerned more about the fact that I can't use my cell phone because it's too small. I have to use a fingernail to press the buttons. I can't even use a finger. I'm looking for a midget with small digits, if someone's out there. And I wonder if I can use an H-1B visa. I'm going to ask John McCain if I can apply for an H-1B visa to hire my own personal cell phone midget from India. And I could put out an ad. Maybe George Bush can help me on this. Wanted midget with small digits. Must be technologically adept, willing to work all hours of day and night for cantankerous talk show host from India to run the country. Right. I'm sure the IQ will be higher. They'd be able to speak better English than George Bush. What would be wrong with outsourcing the presidency?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's all.
Savage.
Listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
I don't like leaving the house lately. I'm reaching a strange point. I like a controlled world. I don't like my schedule being upset. What can I tell you? I want my own world. I don't want it. Even when a gardener comes, I'm upset now. I don't like the leaf blowers. I never like that. But I look in the kitchen window. I got to close the blinds. I mean, I'm making a tuna sandwich in the morning. Do I need this guy looking at me with a leaf blower in his hand? I don't know whether he's going to come in with a machete or not, and I'm going to have to run for the knife, the gun. I live in a crazy world. I really do. I open the gates, the gardener comes, and he's a nice guy, but I don't like it. The maid, if she comes in once a week, so she's a very nice woman. But, you know, this could drive a person mad. The chairs are slightly turned wrong. The vents, the heater vents, have little plastic heatilators. She can't put them on right. 10 years, she can't put them back on the heater right. She puts them on halfway, upside down, backwards. The chairs at the kitchen dining table, she can't put them in the right. You can tell her over and over again until you're green in the gills. You'll come back, the chairs are the wrong way. Now you say, well, what are you making such a big deal out of it? I don't know why. I don't know why. I like order in my life. My mother had an orderly house. Everything was the same for the entire time she lived there. From the time I was in that house till I left, it was the same. 87 degrees in the summer, the heat was on. She had the heat on in the winter where you could gag. You smelled mothballs and you sweat the minute you opened the door. You came in from the snow and the cold. You're red-faced. I love the cold. You'd walk in that door, you'd start gagging. Mothballs and heat. It worked for her. She was 88 when she left. Go listen to the health food nuts. They're all dead at 39. They die of a liver cancer, a hepatitis that overblew their body. How many health food people do you know that drop dead? Jogging, running, lean, with the watch, with the looking at the dead, 38 years old, a blowout. Why? Because they didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't understand the most important thing about health. You know, I thank God for every day I have, because I'm older than anyone who's ever been in my male in a family. That's number one. It's a shock to me that I'm this old. I figured I'd be dead at 13 from the diet I grew up on. The way I was fed, I should have lasted 13 and been in the arteries in a museum. That he lived to 13, because with the genetic inheritance that I got from the arterial side and the way I was force-fed, you couldn't force-feed a goose better in the morning, as I told you. And I've told the story before. I don't know how I lived. It would be an ordinary light breakfast, maybe ham and eggs, a couple of slices, maybe 8 eggs, buttery toast, whatever. And then to go to school, maybe a jelly donut in case you still had some consciousness, to make certain that you'd go narcoleptic. Eat the jelly donut. Make sure you drink your milk and eat the jelly donut. So the cholesterol level in that meal alone would be enough for an entire Somali village for a year. Now, for lunch, you'd have a light lunch, maybe the meat from the night before on a bread with some other greasy item next to it. Now, for dinner, something light, maybe a steak, French fries, homemade, of course, and cherry vanilla ice cream. This went on for years. So now as I got older, I said, this can't be a diet. So I got into nutrition, and I got my PhD. I studied diets around the world and ethnic diets, and what I found out is that most of us don't really even eat ethnic diets. We don't even understand what an ethnic diet is. If you say, I eat Italian food, you're not eating Italian food. You're eating Italian holiday food of the late 19th century. Italian food is totally different, and it's the same with any ethnic group on the planet. Jewish people say, I'm eating it. They go to a deli. Did you have pastrami or kolami? That's not Jewish food. That's Eastern European Polish food, basically. If you want to eat Jewish food, you have to adopt a Yemenite diet. That would be Jewish food. You'd have to eat food like the Arabs eat in Yemen. That would be Jewish food, desert people, you know, chickpeas and that kind of thing. It's the same with Irish. What's Irish food? Like grain. You know, the holiday meals that we eat three times a day are holiday meals that we're eating three times a day. They're not ethnic diets by any means, and it took me many years of study to learn this as I worked for my doctorate. And I wrote a book on it. Actually, it was quite good in 1983 called The Skeptical Nutritionist. It's no longer in print. Quite a good book. But a good portion of it was about the misnomer of ethnic diets. And what I came to was, at the time, it was a revelation. Today, it's been published many, many times, but I was the first to posit the idea that the basic diet is the Neanderthal diet, but a little beyond the Neanderthal diet, because you search diets around the world, by and large, in most parts of the world, what it is grain, vegetables, and a very small amount of animal protein, except for various and few groups where the grains aren't available nor the vegetables. So who has the lowest rate of heart disease in the world? It was the Greenland Eskimos. And what did they live on? Blubber. So you say, how could that be? How could they live on whale blubber and seal blubber and have the lowest rate of coronary heart disease in the world? Well, there's an answer to it. And that's what drew me to science, because there's reason in science. You don't have to listen to morons who have an opinion, don't know what they're talking about, as you do with politics.
Savage.
What do I eat for breakfast? I lead a very simple life. Here's a typical savage breakfast. A toasted bagel with one slice of tomato and fresh avocado. That's it. And a cup of coffee. I've been eating that for years. I love avocado, and I love tomato, and I love a bagel, and I love coffee, and that's all I can eat in the morning. Once in a while, tuna fish. I'm not a big egg and this and ham and that. I don't eat, all of that heavy food. I like a bigger meal late at night. I've always been food-oriented. Who isn't? I'm the kind of guy, after I eat dinner, if I walk out with a toothpick in my mouth down the street, I'm looking in the menu of the restaurants on the street, and I'm saying, I'd like to eat here another time. And Mrs. Savage says, are you out of your mind? She's not an eater. She doesn't eat much. She could be happy with chiclets and a cup of coffee. She doesn't eat that much. That's why she's in great shape. I eat, and I'm looking at a menu. I'm gagging on the last meal, and I'm looking in the menu. I don't know. Is that probably a genetic thing, to be honest with you? I ate German food last night, though. I had fish. People don't realize you could have fish in a German restaurant. They had polka music. I go to a certain German place in San Francisco once in a while. I like sitting in the back. Now, don't get me wrong. Please don't take this wrong. It's a large beer hall dating back to the 1920s with beautiful frescoes that look like they were painted by a George Gross imitator, but they're quite good. And it's got good German food. I mean, really good food, which is fundamentally Eastern European food, and I grew up on Eastern European food. I sat in the back by myself drinking German beer and eating. It was fabulous. If I were directing like a modern version of Mein Kampf. It would be set in that beer hall. Now, don't take it wrong. Not to glorify the early years of the despicable Hitler. I'm giving you an idea. First of all, it's Oktoberfest. So it fits. It fits in the theme, the thematics of what I'm talking about. Yeah, take it wrong. Everyone has to take what you say and twist it. I'm used to it. This is the problem with an audience as opposed to a couple of friends or guys in a bar or cafe. They'll understand you that you're joking. But your enemies are always going to take what you say and twist it. That's why it's impossible to be a politician today. So it's a terrible business to be in. Whatever you say, they're going to twist.
Savage.
Memorial Day weekend. I don't want to go anywhere. The family again is bugging me. Why don't you come? Why don't you go? We're going here. We're going there. Come with us, Dad. Why don't you go? Why don't you here? We're going to go there. We're going to have fun. You love it. I said, I hate traveling. I don't want to go anywhere. Can I just stay home and barbecue like a hot dog? And stay in the house, have a few people over with a drink? No, no. We got to go somewhere. We're going to the tropics. You go to the tropics. Well, what am I going to do in the tropics? You go to the tropics, you'll love it. We love it. It's hot. I hate it. There's sun out. There's more sun here than I like. I had skin cancer 18 times and removed from the head. It doesn't matter. You won't get it. You wear a hat. You'll go to the beach. I hate the beach. I hate sand. Never mind. You used to love sand. I don't love it anymore. I feel like, you know, as the children get older, you become like a child no matter what you do. They want to turn you into the child that they once were. They always want me to go on a vacation. They don't understand I'm not them. I had vacations the first half of my life. I don't want them anymore. What's a vacation? Never mind. You know how I feel about it. Most people are younger than me, so they like vacations. I don't know what to travel. Why do people get older and go traveling? I know so many. Oh, where are you? Oh, I went to Turkey. Now where are you going? Oh, now I'm going to Brazil. I'm going to Argentina. Oh, no kidding. Wow. Why don't you just go down to the Mission District in San Francisco? You can visit all those countries in about 3 minutes. Go restaurant hopping down on Mission Avenue, Mission Street. Well, what do you know? Argentina. What can you see in Argentina? What in the world is anything anymore, anywhere in this age, the digital age, the video age? Tell me. I've been to Fiji. I've been to Tonga. I've been to Samoa. I've been to the Marquesas. I've collected plants in the most remote islands on planet Earth when I was younger. What in the world is waiting for me anywhere on Earth? At this stage, at a certain point, with the risks inherent in travel from disease, I don't know anybody who travels across the country doesn't come back. I got a little cough. When about 2 years ago, I hasn't gone away on the airline. It's really stuck in there. You know, everyone's got it. I don't have it. Why don't you have it? Because I don't go anywhere. Everyone I know has everyone has a cough. They don't know where it came from. They sit on an airplane for 6 hours with strangers, half of whom probably have tuberculosis, and they don't know where it came from. They got immigrants coming in with diseases that haven't been invented yet, three aisles behind them, with microbes that have not yet been documented at Harvard University. They're sitting three rows ahead of the guy. They're eating next to him, drinking next to him, sneezing next to him, coughing next to him. Then they're going into the bathroom, 3 cubic feet. They're going to use the bathroom after he used it, and they wonder what... I got a little cough. Well, go away. What is it? I don't know. I got it on the plane. It's nothing serious, the doctor told me it's nothing. The doctor knows. Yeah, doctor knows everything. Take this, buy that, cut this, and burn that. That's all. The doctor knows everything. I got a little cough. It's stuck in the throat a little. It won't go away. Where'd you get it? Went to Argentina. Why'd you go to Argentina? I was on vacation. Why'd you go there? Well, I wanted to go far away. Why'd you want to go far away? Because I can. And what'd you see there? Nothing, but I got a little cough.
Savage.
The plaintive sound of the whale, the wailing of the whales, could cut through even the hardest of hearts. I tell you the truth, unless you're Norwegian or Japanese, the language can certainly be heard. It's heartbreaking. I mean, it really is. I mean, you look at this whale, the mother whale, she made a wrong turn. It's funny. I heard this happen last week when I was out on the boat. They said that the whales were seen off like Pier 39 to stay away. And then they said within 100 yards of them, the whale just went into the bay. Now the poor baby went up the channel, the deep sea channel, which I boat in all the time, and she turned right and went up the Sacramento Delta. I mean, how do these things happen? You don't know. What would make the whale make the wrong turn? I mean, there's no bigger story. I'm not getting at some stupid point or no joke. Just like, how do you get the whale back? This is a case where the environmentalists, God bless them, I pray to God they can do it. They're trying every trick in the book, you know, from sounds. They're very sensitive to sound and noise. Like I am. I guess there's a little bit of the whale in me, or it's Jonah in the whale, or I'm inside the whale in other stories, really, is what it comes down to. But being inside the whale telling my other stories, the fact of the matter is there's a bit of whale in all of us, just as there is the eagle within all of us, which is why the true full human being understands that you have to protect these other creatures, that they're not here for your to destroy and decimate. Yes, you can eat your animals, but you got to do so reasonably. I studied Native American law for years as a complete outsider, didn't know much about it, but boy, did I come to understand what a 200,000-year-old culture is. When they would harvest a medicinal plant, they wouldn't harvest the first of the type that they found. Let's say they were out looking for a particular plant. If they found the first of its kind, they would leave it. Now, where's the wisdom in that? They had to go look for the second one of that particular type of plant if it was rare, because it was wise. Otherwise, you took the first one you saw, it could be the last one, and you killed it. It reminds me of a story I remember reading of when I was a botany graduate student years and years ago, that some scientists went and found the oldest example of a particular tree on Earth somewhere on a high mountaintop, and he killed it. He proceeded to kill it so he could take it back to his laboratory and show how many tree rings there were, like, you know, it was 3,000 years old. I said, boy, does that ever typify the short-sightedness of some people? And that's very much how bureaucrats think, whether they be bureaucratic scientists or bureaucratic politicians. Not all politicians are bureaucrats, and not all politicians can think. Unfortunately, many of them act the same way. And so, therefore, I've said a couple of things, but it may not lead to anything. I don't have to lead to a conclusion. But I don't know what to do with this whale story. This is some story. It's kind of heartbreaking. Everybody wants the whales to swim back out and be, you know, live happily ever after so they can be harpooned by a Norwegian or a Japanese and be put into a can. You know, I don't know how. Why do we still let them kill whales at this, you know, day and age? Why? Why must they eat a whale? Why must they eat a whale at this point in history? Is not enough dead whales? You ever see that? You ever watch, read that stuff? I mean, if you read Melville's books, whaling was what built New England. New England was built on whaling. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Train is soothing. There you go. I need sound effects to get myself into the headspace. Volatile. The headspace volatiles of the train sound. There's something so soothing about a train. Yet there are people, you hear, you say, play a train. They need an anxiety, anti-anxiety pill. Because it's, okay, now I know why I'm playing the train. Because I'm coming up on Thanksgiving and at the memories, memory lane, all of the Thanksgivings that we'd go out to Pennsylvania to visit the relatives. Did I love that Wednesday? Did I love the Wednesday of the week of the Thanksgiving when my mother would come? I say, Ma, why do I have to go to school? If we're leaving from Penn Station at 1 o'clock, why must I go to school in the morning? Can I have the whole day off? No, you'll get something out of the day. Go for half a day. I hated it. It made no sense to me. I couldn't learn. I was nervous. My hands would sweat. No matter what the teacher said, my mind was only on the ham sandwich or the train or the cousins. And so I'd go. Then she'd come for us at noon. I never forget that. I'd be sitting there with a little heart beating. And there was Mom. She'd come to school and get us. And then I don't know how we got down to Penn Station. I don't know. Relative? No, it took subways or something. My dad had to work. And we go down to Penn Station. It was so exciting for a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, coming out of the Bronx to go out to Pennsylvania by trains in those days. I got to tell you, it was unbelievable. Now, you get into Penn Station, the hustle and the bustle and the excitement of people pushing and pulling. Now, I got to tell you, in those days, I guess I'm sounding old, they used to have steam trains that ran on coal. They were coal-driven trains. However, the train in Penn Station was, of course, not coal-driven. New York had banned the coal-driven train. They were electric. But the minute the train went under the Hudson River and came out on the other side out of the tunnel, the engines would be switched over to a coal-driven train. I frankly love the stink of the smoke from the coal train. There's a certain byproduct of, you got to understand what I'm saying. Many people will get this all wrong, of course, as they do most everything I say, just to show that I'm not what I really am. But to this day, for example, if I'm on a large ocean liner, which I haven't been on in a number of years, I used to like occasionally to get a backdraft of the smell coming out of the chimney. I don't mean I stood there to die, but there was something about it. I can't put my finger on it. It's like secondhand smoke. You don't really want it, but if you inhale it, you say, what the heck, it's not bad. So we get on the train, boom, 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 and there goes the smoke. And this thing was belching out black smoke for miles. Of course, we understand why we had to get rid of that. Now you settle down for the two-hour ride out to the Pennsylvania country land. My God, was it fun. I had my comic books. I had my coloring books. The porter would come around and, you know, you get the sandwich, then the countryside shooting. But to this day, I love trains, but I haven't been on one in 10 years. Who has the time for a train today? I have time only for you, the audience. I am dedicated 24/7 to this. This is my addiction. Then you'd get there and we'd get to Pennsylvania. And I'll tell you, the most exciting part was getting there. I still have nightmares to this day. And the train would get in and the smoke and the people pushing and the carts and the da-da-da. Where are the relatives? Where are they? I don't see them. Where is he? Where? And you didn't see your relative. And that to a kid going to a strange state and your relative is not there instantly, you think you're like homeless. And then out of the fog and the smoke, oh, there he is. And you get together. It was the greatest moment on earth. Then we get in the little car. We go. Everybody was happy and everyone loved each other and everyone was alive. And now they're not alive. And that's the end of that story. And I'm alive. And that's it. And my family's alive. And thank God I'll be with them this Thursday. Albeit not on a train, but if there's any luck, I'll be on a boat after or before. Actually, Friday is a good day to go on the boat if the weather is permitting.
Savage.
It's Rock and Roll Friday. Dress up the show a little bit. The Chinese don't listen to it anyway. See, this is a good way to get messages out with is what rock and roll. They don't understand it in China. The illegal immigrants can't understand the English and the rock and roll. Maybe we could pass messages through old rock and roll somehow. I can figure that out. I can hear them talking in like a foreign language. What is he saying now? Play any rock and roll. I'm sure they'll think it's a conspiracy. George Bush is liable to even get a memo on this. There. Hey, what does he mean, little Sandman? What do you mean, Mr. Sandman? What's that savage mean now?
Mr. Sandman.
Come in, Dusseldorf. Come in, Dusseldorf. Hello, London. You are receiving your hidden message now. Mr. Sandman. Mr. Sandman, this message is for you. Bring me your dream. Oh, turn it off, please.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.